It's the Bonfire, Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95.
Is it?
I'm Dan Soder. It fucking is.
95?
95, dude.
It's not rolling off the tongue right. It's not hit my ears right.
This is why I fucking. That's why I got weird the other day.
It's not hit my ears right. Try it again.
Sirius XM, Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
It's the Bonfire. I'm Dan Soder. That's Big J. Okerson. Christine Marie Evans with us.
We're doing
a socially distant show. Definitely made a face as I didn't pull out a joint.
We're socially distanced.
Yeah, we're 6 feet.
Yeah, for sure. That's why we got these extra long XLR cords.
But once we get to this licking segment, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Just living this sensual in-person life.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we're taking a vacation next week. So we were like, well, is this going to air after the vacation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Jay had a wonderful vacation.
Oh, it was lovely.
Thrills and spills and automobiles.
But me and Christine have agreed to, what does Gwyneth Paltrow call it?
Oh,
uncouple. Conscious. We're consciously uncoupling.
What a fucking fancy way to be like, we want to fuck other people.
Yeah. Conscious uncoupling.
We're doing a conscious eye contact.
First things first. No more hand holding of any kind. That's the slow roll back.
Aww.
And then cuddles
like
all together.
You're cutting out snugs?
All together, but that's just,
is
that a conscious uncouple? Slow roll back things? We will only have 3 meals a week together.
I will watch all of season 2 of The Umbrella Academy. You will watch none.
You will watch 0 of it.
I will go ahead and you will stay behind.
So when we get to places, we have conversations about different things. I have not been watching the show you're watching.
You have not been watching
the show I am watching.
We're also separating friends. I get Ari.
We're doing a draft.
You get Lewis. I'm telling you right now, I'll give you Ari and you take Lewis and Dave.
I'm picturing a schoolyard of friend picking, and it's the very end. It's just it's a super fat kid and Lewis just kicking like dirt on the ground. Like
Lewis goes, I'll fight whoever you want me to fight.
Lewis. All right, Lewis.
I'd pick Lewis, but he wouldn't come to me.
Yeah, Lewis would be like, fuck that, I'm on Jay's team.
I'm on Jay's team.
No, he'd go with you. Lewis would go with you, Christine.
Lewis would make sure we consciously uncouple so that we can continue to work together.
I'm just a guy who said, I'm unnecessary middleman of his dumb ideas to somebody who gets them done. I'm just the person where he tells me and he goes, we should blah, blah, blah. And I go,
yeah.
And yeah. I send that yeah to the left. I pass the idea to the left-hand side. Pass Lewis's idea to the left-hand side.
Pass the Lewis to the left-hand side.
Yeah. He really, really got the skank fest. And yeah. What they say, he really, really got a podcast.
Hey, bro, you're breaking the cipher. I'm supposed to go to the left, doggy.
So, yeah, I'm the middleman. If he goes, here's a really fantastic idea. And then sometimes I'll go, no, that won't work to whatever. I'm not going to turn my head to Christine and Rebecca and people and say that. idea is ridiculous.
Who would get Michelle?
Ooh.
Me.
No.
Yeah.
Oh. No, we're not.
That was weird. That got real.
We were in a fight. Michelle's one of our friends that's seen us fight pretty bad, as have you, I believe. And
I've seen it all, baby.
I said something. I go, I'm like, if we broke up, all of our friends would just be on your side, including this one right here. And she got so mad that I would like allude to her being Jay's friend over mine.
Whoa. But she'd go with you.
But when the dust settles,
yeah,
she has to make an actual choice. Me and Christine are on either side of the street calling her.
I felt bad I didn't pass that to Christine. I apologize. That was 2 runs that I didn't pass
to Christine. She wasn't going to until later.
Well, guess I'm going on your team, bud.
But Michelle, if she was in the middle of the street, me and Christine are on the other side of the street going, come here, girl.
Come here.
Come here. Come here. She comes.
Dude, that's the thing about being...
She comes over to the big guys.
Getting a dog during quarantine, it's a big thing because there's moments where Myrtle's really feeling me, and there's moments where Myrtle's just straight up about Katie. She opened her cage yesterday and got back her kennel. She opened the kennel and got back on the couch. And
she pulled the ladder out of furniture, got animal crackers, and went back in.
But I was outside the kennel, like... forward, like, mm-hmm. Hey, come here. And she just hooked and went on the couch with Katie. And I was like, wow, that stung.
That does sting. Yeah. You're the regular walker.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm outside with her. I'm like, you made me look like a fucking idiot.
Look like an ass back there. I'm trying to do the friend.
Other draft friends?
To see where they go. Let's do
so Wayne.
Wayne's not in this picture right. anymore.
The free agency is Wayne is acquired by Dave Smith. all right.
In free agency, Wayne gets scooped.
All right, I'm trying to think of ones that would be more difficult.
They're all different. We've been so wrapped up. I mean, I was friends with Jay's best friends before I was dating Jay.
Let's
from
go.
Being
I'm saying it's very interesting.
Let's go through the crew.
Oh, the crew? Okay. Jacob goes with Christine in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Jacob's my dog.
That's great. That's great. You know what's great about this is I'm like to see. Sorry, I was just letting it die. I'm seeing aspects of friendships that I don't realize from my perspective, like you and Jacob. Like, in my mind, I really was like, where would Jacob go? And you're like, I don't know. And even Jay was like, oh, Jacob goes with Christine.
Yeah.
I love
Jacob. Jacob goes with Christine for sure. Here's the thing. Black Lou, I think, comes with me.
I say Black Lou would take, like, was it Sweden?
Yeah, he'd go. He'd
kill himself?
Well, hold on a second. It's just more neutral.
No, I know. But no.
You got DJ Lou.
No. DJ Lou might surprise you. Let me say why. You have to picture the situation we're hypothesizing here.
All right.
And that is hypothesizing?
Yeah. Hypothetical. The root word being hypothetical.
It sounds right to me, but I'd
it
like to
it doesn't because hypothesis is...
A question.
Not this.
You're asking a question.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Well, here's the...
You can tell the joint went around.
In this, yeah. In this fake...
Hypothesis.
In this fake... So,
what? Hypothesize.
Put something forward as a hypothesis.
There you
hypothesize.
Go.
So in this hypothesized situation we're saying here, let's think of some of the things that might happen. There's some rocks that might fall here and tumble down. Christine breaking up might go into a... right and back into a, like, hey, I'm going to go fucking start drinking again, having some fun, get myself back out there. I'm a strong woman.
Yeah.
I'm a career woman, and I'm going to go out there and make my stamp on the world. And in order for me to be able to talk to other human beings in any kind of way that she feels is entertaining, she has to be severely inebriated. So Christine might jump right back in the game. And I'm telling you, a DJ Lou and Christine thing, they'll be banned from city, like townships in New Jersey.
Dude, the Bash Brothers.
Yeah, they can't go. They can't go into certain bars and shit
anymore. They go, it's the Terrible Two. And they go, what do you mean? They go, Christine and Lou.
She'll see a problem with none of that. Christine would be right next to Lou, and it's like, what's up? And it's like, he goes, I'm going to go outside and smoke a cigarette. And they go, but they're not going to let you back into this concert if you go outside. They go, they'll fucking let us back in. And then 2 hours later, they'll be outside doing this. They'll be like, this fucking guy wouldn't let us back in. It's like, what a fucking asshole. And the guy's just like, I told them it says no re-entry. I told them finally before they walked outside. It's like, this guy's such a fucking asshole. I don't even think the fuck
he is.
Then
Lou would be like, right? Let's go drink.
Yeah. Let's go pee on this bar. Let's go pee on the windows.
So you think DJ Lou possibly goes with Christine?
If he's looking for the fun fact, I'm not good for DJ Lou. What do you, hey.
Faith Jenkins, excuse me, divorce court, we're doing an episode here.
I'm not good for what DJ Lou wants in an outside of work friend.
Got it.
I'm going to be the guy who's, I'm the annoying guy with that. I'm going to be the guy going like, Lou, you're being like loud, dude. Lou, don't go outside. Lou,
yeah.
Don't go outside because they're going to fucking tell you can't come back in. Like, don't be an idiot. Stop being an idiot. Yeah. I'll be that guy, and he'll hate that.
You're a good, but that's a good friend. You need that. If you're now, it's
but it's the kind of friend I am.
We're gonna have to ask Lou, and obviously he's editing this episode. Maybe that's what he wants in a friend. Maybe he doesn't need gas on the fire. Maybe he needs a break.
He wants discipline.
I love that we all assume that if me and Jay break up, that I'm just gonna be a raging alcoholic.
No, I didn't assume that. And my hypothesis.
Yeah, he was.
In my hypothesis, I was just saying, I think DJ Lou would go with you on the chance
that I could be fun.
That you could go back into that realm of fun. DJ Lou might be evil enough to be like, I could get Christine boozing again.
Yeah, I would think that you would be very decent as far as, like, you wouldn't be a problem. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if this is a conscious uncoupling,
uh-huh.
I don't feel like I know you. I think I know you well enough as a person that your spite wouldn't be obvious. If there was spite, you would see it, which is always how relationships work. When you go through a breakup and you have mutual friends, there's always one person that's like, yeah, dude, you don't know how crazy she's being. And you're like, well, she wouldn't do that. You're like, I'm telling you, I see how fucking crazy she goes.
But by the way, we aren't neither close to
no, this is
up.
All
no breaking up, but what should we call? No, I was just gonna say the things that are funny, like the snapping like that.
Yeah,
just going like fucking. Yeah, dude, I couldn't imagine fucking like working with Christine like through the breakup and having to come to work and be like, he goes, because you're fucking trying to take everything. No, because you know that I paid for that myself.
Yeah.
You know I paid for that myself. You know I paid for that. Hey, what's up? It's a bonfire. Come to the
Series 6. Or do that where you go, hey, Christine, can you pull that up? Yeah, fucking, of course you didn't get that. Just like you didn't fucking hear when I said that. And I'm like, guys.
Of course, this is what she does.
Yeah.
This is what she does.
I mean, you know, you guys have gotten close to that before on this show.
The thing is that Jay and me and, like, you know, we've been together a long time. We've been on the show together for 5 years. Me and Jay have gone through, like, breakupable things in those 5 years.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you guys have kept it, I don't want to say entertaining, but I want to say... You still facilitate the ability to do the show.
Which is... Yeah, I was lying about smoking. I kicked her into a miscarriage.
Whoa!
This is the second one's got to be a fucking wild.
The thing we turned into the trial, the DC incident. Like Jason Ellis told Jay he should break up with me. Like that's a behavior in a girlfriend where you're like,
that's Jason Ellis, my guru.
It was, but you know what I mean. Just hearing it from an outside perspective, not being friends with me. So I'm saying on both sides, me and Jay have gone through breakup.
Sure. Well,
my not drinking was a major shift in our relationship.
I also think you just went Team Lewis with that information.
Yeah.
I think Lewis goes to Christine 100%.
I said Lewis goes to Christine.
Oh, okay.
I said Lewis goes to Christine because she'll get his idea. If they're doable, Christine will get
it. And Lewis will be the first person that's like, I mean, yeah, Jay, that's just what Jay does. You know? And then Christine will be like, he does do that. You know? And then you'll be like,
yeah.
But then Lewis would still see you and be like, what's up, doggy?
Hey, doggy.
Yeah.
Lewis, like, that's the thing about our friends is I don't consider them Jay's friends. I consider you guys all my friends.
Yeah.
And so it's just such a unique thing where, because me and Jay have gone through...
And that kind of gay shit's the reason that you get Jacob.
Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Justin Silver has a hard back and forth. It's a struggle in his mind, back and forth, but I think Justin comes over to me.
Ooh.
You dump me? I'm trying to fuck Justin.
Whoa!
That's fine.
Well, good luck.
Well, you better shove some shit in your pussy if you want to put his dick in it.
What a hilarious... I was wondering how that was going to come off, and I didn't know. I was like, well, how are we going to do this? And you just go, shove shit in your pussy? God damn it, just being in the same room
as you. You better learn how to do an unassisted pull-up first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, dude. You better be comfortable with a back thrust.
Justin likes a chubber.
But who else?
I think Dave Smith
just drops out of changes his name and goes. I stay friends
with Lauren.
That's
so
where
I was
goes.
Hanging out.
Friends with
Christine's
Lauren.
Friends with Lauren.
I don't think new Dave likes anything about my life or what I do.
He just comes over. He goes, "What are you doing? What is this?"
I don't know what Dave. But
that's
Dave,
not true. Dave loves I think you.
Dave loves you.
Dave that, loves
of
you.
Of course, Dave loves me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I just like.
Oh, you're just saying like life decisions.
Does he approve of your choices?
I'm daily, you got to remember, like 360 days a year at a point, friends with a Dave. This is just, and I'm not saying it in any kind of a bad way. I'm just saying this is like a father, husband, living in a house, Dave.
For those of you
Dave didn't have, Dave's place was like he was essentially squatting in a place.
That's what I mean. Like,
and staying with me.
If you are a fan of Legion of Skanks and you've listened to the beginning, it is amazing who Dave's became. Dave was the friend where you're like, well, Jay's coming. Dave's staying at Jay's. You just like see that. Yeah. And then now Dave's a loving husband, father, like political analyst in a way that I'm like, damn, yeah. dude.
We watched
what
him
the
like
fuck?
Become this like amazing man over
Dave the was always the Dave's guy.
Like, I was talking, I had dinner the other day with this judge.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And you're like,
what?
A judge? For, yeah. I'm like, he's like, yeah.
Dave and I were the guys that stayed in Jay's car while he ran in to do a spot so we could be parked out front. And we smoked cigarettes and talked about bullshit. And then Jay would come back out and we'd be like, cool, we're going to stay up in New York now. Or we're going to the strip. And we just like ride around with Jay.
Yeah, we've gone. I mean, you guys were also in your 20s. It's like we've gone from being, you know, essentially right above kids, like post-college age to like we're fucking in our 30s and 40s. It's crazy.
So Dave goes to Christine by way of Lauren. Liz at the cellar.
Oh, she comes to me.
Oh, Liz loves Jay.
Yeah, Liz goes Jay.
I might be, unless she just makes me feel this way, which I don't think so. I might be one of her favorite human beings in the world.
Yeah. I mean,
Liz really likes me.
Liz is the shit. Liz is one of my favorite human beings in the world.
By the way, I love me
too.
Liz.
No. Me too. Me
Liz
too.
Liz loves Jay.
Like, my favorite thing
Liz
about...
Liz loves Christine, but Liz is just like... Without she has Liz, just I... let me be teacher's pet in so many ways. For as much as Esty genuinely, I believe, doesn't even like me.
Yeah.
Liz loves me that much.
That's what... my favorite thing about Liz is...
And I her.
Yeah. Liz feels like... Liz, who works at the Comedy Cellar, feels like the teacher, not even the teacher, the person that worked in the office at school that got that you weren't a bad kid.
Yeah.
Like, she gets it there. You're like, oh, Dan Soder, look who's walking through the door. And you're like, it's being like a, you get to be like a turd around her. And she doesn't think you're a shitty person. Whereas, like, other... Liz also is no bullshit. There's not a lot of bullshit with Liz. So you can be goofy and silly and you're... and. Like, there's people in this in comedy that, like, put on facades. Like, they put on this, like, I don't know if I'm saying that word right. Now I'm doubting every word.
Good, that's good.
It was one of the
every word I'm checking facade. On the line. I'm checking to a judge.
Facade. Spell it, though.
The first thought that came to mind about Liz, like, the first one was genuine.
I don't know.
Oh, it might be F-A-S-C.
F-A-S-C-A-D-E. Can you check facade?
I'm not maybe just F-A-C.
But what I love about Liz is, like, that's just my favorite thing where I... Liz is one of those people where it's like, I'll go where you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you end up... How to,
facade, Christine? I think F-A-C.
I think it's
F-A-C-U-D-E,
but I'm checking it.
F-A-C probably is.
Well, you said S-C, threw me right into a whirlwind.
I know.
I was gonna give you an old, let me correct Dan, and then I was like, maybe he's totally right. That's what happens when dumb tries to correct dumb.
Dumb on dumb.
I'm no smarter than you. Yeah. I just...
Just dumb on dumb.
I just jump out.
Oh, F-A-C. Yeah, there's no S.
You idiot. Fucking God, you're an asshole.
Such a dumb.
Oh, it has one of the squigglies on it normally. The French... Oh, yeah. The French C.
Fichuad.
Oh, Fichuad. Yeah.
Fichuad.
A Fichuad.
Fichuad. So... Let's go.
All right, who else? I got one. I got one that I was going to ask. The Stand.
Ooh.
Because Skank's there on Monday, Jay's relationship with the Kimmelwitzes, with Patrick.
Yeah, I'm like their sister.
I know. And then you...
There's a zillion comics.
I really, like, those guys, say we've gone through hell and high water together. Not that Jay hasn't.
Now,
while
you guys think of that one,
I've given Chris Italia some good old fashioned public trashings. So, maybe Christine. They might see a higher value of her on a club level in friendship.
But I think you get those late.
I'll never produce a show.
Like, Chris also like Jay's produce. Like Chris's favorite comic. Like Chris loves Jay. Like he doesn't want
to. All right, so I think comic. The Stand goes to Christine. I think the Cellar goes Jay. I think
goes Jay.
Rebecca goes Christine, even though she loves Jay.
No, 100%. She goes Christine. Yeah,
she goes you.
Without a doubt. I
mean, loves you, but she goes Christine.
And she's like my work wife.
Yeah, I think Ralph, obviously Jay. Shannon, Jay.
She's been a good producer for a long time.
Becky Rodriguez.
Becky's hard.
That's a tough one. Though.
That's a very tough one.
I'll tell you what.
I didn't think this fictitious conscious uncoupling would be so hard on me. Emotionally.
I would say let's call B-Rod right now and put her on speakerphone. We could do that right now. However.
No, well, I'll text her. I will text her and I'll get an answer and I'll tell you.
No. We need to hear her voice do this. But you can call her and put her right speakerphone right to the microphone. But here's the thing I'm going to ask her. Are we prepared for this? Because... I think if I was going like 51-40, I'd say 51-49, she might say me.
There's a good chance she goes you.
I'm saying 51-49, and I think if she says me, if she admits that, I think it's going to hurt Christine.
No, yeah. Here's the thing. If I'm out of the picture and not working as Jay's producer, Becky as a producer would want to fill that void.
For sure.
So
she's Jay's Western wife.
You know what I mean? It's something where
if you die, you got to Becky marries in to continue.
I mean, I'm hit by a car tomorrow. She's like my choice. So it is something where you're like,
you want me to marry Becky Rodriguez?
I'd want you to marry Becky Rodriguez.
What an angel!
What about angel? You son of a bitch!
Polyamory is hip and it in is hip. Guys.
All right, let's call her.
All right, it's gonna crush Christine.
It's not gonna crush me. I'm just gonna live in the space that it's you.
Oh, God.
Hi, Becky. It's Dan Soder from The Bonfire. You're on the air.
Hi.
I have a quick question.
Let me
are doing a fictional conscious uncoupling between Jay and Christine.
Oh, my goodness.
And what we're doing is we're going through the friends and seeing how they fall.
Whose side do they go on?
Whose side do they go on? Now,
And she's been the most... Becky, you were the most... No one knows where this is going.
We don't know where you're going. You're the only person
in a lot of people.
A lot of us have it. I mean, I think in Vegas, the odds right now are a 51-49 split. So it's basically money line that you're going to go either way. My question to you is, we're just like the courts let children pick who they want to live with.
Okay.
In this conscious uncoupling, do you choose Jay or Christine?
Oh, my God. My mouth is so dry.
It's a difficult question. We batted around not calling you because I'm worried Christine's going to kill herself.
Oh, God. Well, that's swaying my vote entirely.
No, she won't. This is honestly, just go with your heart. Do you go live with Jay or Christine?
Oh, my God.
Think it through. Show your work.
Yeah,
think show
it out.
Okay. I mean... I would want to side with Christine because, you know, she's like my very good friend, one of my best friends, and like so much fun to hang out with. And then, but like, so are you. And I also work for you. So I have to see you at work multiple times a week.
Listen.
That'd be so weird if we weren't friends.
You're not going to get fired. And it's not that we're not friends. It just becomes more of like... This is the person you have dinner with and shoot the shit
with. It's an alliance.
Friends.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Fuck.
Because, it doesn't change work. Work's great. You're still B-Rod.
Still got a job. You don't lose a job.
No weirdness between us.
Just who do you go with?
It's just Sunday, we're having a picnic, and you got to go to one of the two picnics.
I mean, actually, let's just get down to brass tacks. Jay's blue, Christine's red. You better not wear the wrong colors in these neighborhoods. Rep your set.
Okay. Fuck. I'm going to pick... Christine.
Whoa! B-Rod! Going with Christine.
Now I go... That's cool, B-Rod. I'll see you at work later.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be over to do sixth and jump.
I'll tell you, I had a feeling. Upon further thinking, I had a feeling that was the choice.
But as far as work goes, Becky, it's
not the wrong choice.
But Becky, with me out of the picture as somebody working closely with Jay, there's also an opening to work with Jay more, even though the friendship's more on our side. But there's like, I'm not, you know, it's like, I'm not around anymore.
And then
I'm begging our other friends to let me produce for them.
I would never see Christine anymore. It would be so weird.
Yeah, then you and Christine can finally dyke off the way you want to, you fucking lesbo bitches.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Everyone,
calm down. I'm the moderator. I am a moderator. I have all the power.
I tell you what, I genuinely...
Half the fun of hanging out with Christine is also watching TV with you and hate watching stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I'm saying.
That's an empty part of my life.
That answer actually warmed my heart a little bit that she said Christine. So I was like, oh, good. I like Christine making new friends.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, get this crazy bird out the house. All right. Thank you, B-Rod. We love you. We'll see you soon for Six and Jump.
Love you, Becky.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, well, there you go, dude. You get fucking Becky Rodriguez.
All right, you got B-Rod.
That's cool. We got? Let's as far as Gas Digital goes, Alex goes.
There's a few.
Alex is my heart too.
There's a few women who I snag from the situation, so I don't feel too bad. Do you know what I mean?
What about Hard Corey and Lynn?
That's Christy. I mean, like, or that's not friends in the same way we're talking about here. Here's good ones you got to think. Sal. No, it's not even a brain. It's right here.
Ari.
The party's over here. Ari. Damn. Me. Yeah, probably me.
I just don't see Lou. It's like, I love Louis. Louis is like my brother. I love working with him. Everything. But I just like, Louis is also Jay's brother. I'm like, yeah. It's something where I'm like,
He'd walk in a heartbeat. Lewis
would figure out how to balance both. He just would.
And you're making it too...
Fenoya goes to you.
Fenoya goes to me. I don't even know if Fenoya likes Christine.
Baldinger.
Me. Ooh.
You.
But, whoa. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And I know we're naming people, but I'm also... This is so inside baseball for a lot.
But Baldinger.
Brian Baldinger is a producer in comedy.
Who was Christine's roommate.
Lived in this apartment.
Yes, this apartment right here.
Awesome,
gave
dude.
My first job in comedy.
Yeah, love
first
Brian.
Production job.
Yeah, he's the motherfucking man. All right, who else we got? We got...
in New York comedy.
Hootly who? Bobby Kelly.
You.
Comes right here.
Bobby Kelly goes to the kid, I think.
But Bobby still is excited to see me out when we see each other work.
Kim Condon.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah, Lewis's ex.
Yeah. Hilarious comic.
Hilarious comic.
I don't know. On a friendship level, probably Christine. I think on a friendship level, probably Christine. I think she Kim.
On a work level,
has a good time with me. No. So we get along very good as friends and stuff. But I think she's this sounds far more cunt than I mean it to be. I've just been doing it a lot longer than her, so you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think she likes me to see how funny she is, and vice versa. Likes to be around funny people. So.
Bobby Hutch. Jay.
Me.
Jay.
In fact, Alex, I'd probably say me too.
I think Alex goes Christine.
I know it's hard. Alex.
I would say, as an outside perspective, and I'm not speaking for Alex, and I might be incorrect, and I'm sorry if I am, I think Alex goes to you.
Get her on the horn.
Well, me, Alex, Kim, and Becky would have so much fun hanging out together.
It's another.
It'd be such a fun hang.
You little fucking.
It's another battle. This one comes to a phone call.
You got
to
call Alex.
Alex might, this might put her into a panic attack.
It could.
I'm trying to think. Let's keep going through Harrington, obviously, Jay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah, Harrington. Yeah, for sure.
I always stick up for Harrington.
Amico, Jay.
Yes.
Shane, Jay. Sorry.
Yes.
I don't mean to speak for the bull.
Kyler.
Kyler and Beezer is a weird one. Beezer
comes here, but Kyler, I think, jumps right to Christine. She loves
Kyler. Kyler goes...
I love Kyla.
Yeah, Kyla goes Christine easy. Now we're just...
Kyla loves me, but said the same thing almost from Kyla.
I have so many girlfriends I love.
Yeah.
Through me.
This is all... Yeah, we're all lifting you up, and then Jay's getting that sweet, sweet freedom.
Jessica Kirsten might go to Christine, but Jessica also really loves me.
Oh, man.
And I her.
What about...
And I her.
Yeah, Jessica's a tough one.
The guys we fucked girls both go to Christine.
Yes. Christina and Corinne.
I think there's a core level where they both don't like me.
Yeah. No,
but I'm very, very sweet to them,
true.
I think.
That's
so.
Not true at all.
What?
I know Christina likes you a lot.
But I'm
so
very
sweet.
You
and Corinne
to them.
Have always gotten along through
everything.
Yeah. I get along with them very well. I just think I think I might be something they don't like. In a human, I don't know.
No. I think that's a harder one than you're giving it credit to. Who else? I mean, I know people are listening right now thinking they're yelling names out like this person, but
sure.
B.D. Wong.
I want to think who else in comedy? Bert Kreischer. You.
To me.
Jay.
That goes to Jay.
There's some weird ones. Some weird ones of people you knew before.
Oh, Michael Che. Me.
You think Che goes you. I think Che goes Jay.
Ooh. Might be a phone call, buddy.
Yeah, good luck. I've tried to call Michael Che 20 times in the past 2 years.
What have you
picked up? I've gotten him on the phone once.
What if he picks up right now?
For me? He won't.
No, what if he picks up for me right
now? Oh, that'd be great. And I'd tell him to fuck off.
Then we know where he goes to.
Well, no, we're not on coupling.
I don't know that it's me.
It might be you.
Pete Davidson. Jay.
Yeah, probably me.
Even though I love Pete.
All right, well, that's starting to get sad.
Yeah,
let's take
sad. Are we breaking up?
No. Because there was a fake breakup. That was just our first
time. What I was saying, it was interesting because me and Jay were Pizza in it a little bit last week, and he was like, if we ever break up, it's not going to be good. He's like, it's going to be a horrible breakup. There won't be anything easy about it. And I'm like, we've gone through so many. I say we've gone through breakupable things and gotten mad at each other. Mm-hmm. It's like we've been able to get through that. I feel like were Jay and me to decide that we were no longer good together as a couple, there would be like a conscious element to it.
Yeah, I think when you're together.
This episode sounds like we're prepping the world for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we go, guys, listen, just sit down. Hey, guys, it's me, Dan. Sit down. Jay and Christine both don't live here anymore. Christine's staying with a friend, and Jay and I are just going to... You know what? You got two dads now.
You got two pops.
My background's just different.
Dude, my mom straight up... When she told me my dad wasn't living there, she straight up just hung up the phone and was like, your dad doesn't live here anymore. And I was like, well, cool. So can I rent a video game or not?
Did you immediately push it down?
Yeah.
Immediately.
Just walked right through it.
Didn't even have like a fucking like...
A cry? Not that I remember.
You probably had like some cries here and there, but I'm saying, but overall...
Dude,
like,
I just became...
When you woke up in the morning, you weren't like in the shower, like just... it wasn't all mopes. You were just kind of like, well, this is life now.
Yo, I would tell you...
I was too young. I was three.
I pushed mine down, for sure. I would tell you that I didn't think I had a problem, but when I was in fourth grade, my mom was like... You got to go to therapy. I was like starting to fight kids and shit. My mom's like, you got to go to therapy. I was like, no, I'm cool.
In my mind. Like,
and in my mind, I was cool.
Like, I just want to start fights on the street with strangers over
there. Yeah, it's like, I'll just flip out.
In my mind, I walked right through it with my dad too. But then, you know, I was afraid of weather until I was 12 or whatever.
But it shows you how fucking terrible psychology was up until recently, because people are just like, yeah, you just eat it. And you walk forward. Like, I told all the shit that my mom's been through to my therapist, and he was like, yeah, dude, she just put survivor's guilt on you. Like, no matter what you went through wasn't shit compared to what she went through.
Right.
Because she had been through such crazy shit, and that generation, the baby boomers, they just hold it. They're just like, you just hold it. Just don't show a crack. You're fine. Keep moving forward. And then our generation's like, hey, what if we start tinkering around? Oh, my God, all this shit. It's like, because, like you said, you were afraid of weather. And I was just like, my mom's like, yeah, every Saturday morning you have to go talk to Tom. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to Tom.
Also terrified to just be away from home in general. Not sleeping at a friend's house for the night or anything. Yeah. I like that. But also, I used to try to have all sleepovers at my house if possible. It was more like I'd rather have it at my house. And then I think I told you when my mom wanted to bang Uncle Tommy.
Yeah.
It was going to be the wedding this weekend. Or was that the wedding last weekend?
That's great.
Uncle Tommy and my mom dropped me off at like my godmother's house for a weekend, and it was like, I mean, to an above ground pool, you know, nice bedtime, she cooked, you know what I mean? It was like nothing wrong with the house, other kids, nothing wrong with this house at all. But I spent the whole time just like staring at a door waiting for my mom like a puppy. I cry if I wasn't doing that. I was crying or just upset or whatever.
You know what I mean? There's no like when as far as 2020 being like, as far as psychology goes, people understand that more. We're like in the 80s, if you're like, you have to go see a therapist, like,
are you fucking
damn,
crazy?
You're bipolar. Like, yeah. That's like the equivalent now of being like, oh, you have borderline personality disorder.
What are you crying for? And you go, I don't know. And he goes, shock him.
Yeah. Cut his frontal lobe, dude.
And she goes, oh, I got a power drill in the garage. I'll back the temporal lobe for you real quick.
There is an incredible episode of Last Podcast on the Left where they go through lobotomies, the history of lobotomies. And that shit is so crazy that they were just like, yo, just put your thing in there and then just poke around with like a knife. Like you're fixing a VCR.
Yeah.
And then people would be like, oh, look, they're not as angry. And then it's like, meh. I can't recommend another episode of a podcast more if like talk about that subject, because lobotomies are crazy. And now it's like, dude, it was crazy to me that my therapist was like, yeah, your dad sucked. And I was like, nah, he just, you know, he was like out partying and it took Gary ruled. And it took a professional being like, no, hold on. You can love your dad, but he didn't try, didn't want to be in your life in any of that. And you're like, what? You do the Chris Farley thing or you go, what? Because it's hard to admit. It's hard to take that in and learn how to like balance it out. But
you have to stand up and start shadow boxing in the therapy office.
Like, yeah.
No, dude. And he goes, and the thing is, your dealing with a lot of emotions. You go, you just go over and fucking bulldog them. Yeah. Shut up, dude.
Well, when I first started going to therapy, I was still smoking. I was still drinking. Like he's the guy that helped me like quit drinking. But I would smoke cigarettes. And I remember when we started getting to that like super intense stuff, because even we're talking about like our parents getting divorced when we were so small, we don't remember it. And I definitely pushed it down. But in my mind, I'm like, when you go through it, you're like, no, I just got over it. I'm past that hurdle. You don't realize you're dragging it behind you like a car. And you're like, oh yeah. And my mom's like, you got to get into therapy. And when she said that to me, I was like, for what? Like wrestling is on at 10.
Is this the introduction to our new segment, Enlightened Dan?
No, not enlightened at all. I'm saying
I thought it was going to be a setup for a feed for a new character.
Where I go, you take it, energy.
I caught you in too serious of a moment. I go, it goes, this is our new segment, Enlightened Dan. And you go, no, not at all. I got another thing. I go, oh.
I'm always afraid when I talk about this shit that I'm just fucking diarrheaing out of my face. Just because it's like.
No, not at all, dude.
No, you've gone through a lot of trauma and a lot of therapy in your life, so it's an interesting.
But Dan, let me tell you. You didn't think it was trauma. Let me just get one word in. It's not your fault.
Don't you do this to me.
It's not your fault.
Don't you do this.
Dan.
What are you thinking? These are surgery scars?
It's not your fault, Chief.
It's not your fault, Chief. No, but I think it's like, enlightened. I hate people that act enlightened because I know that I'm like, dude, I didn't think therapy. When I was a kid, my mom was like, go to therapy. I'm like, fuck you, I'm fine. And then, like, I remember when my dad died, I was like, it's not a big deal. Like, I'm tough. I just go through it. And then I'm in my late 20s. I'm kind of like, hey, something hurts back here. And I remember Giannis being like, you have to go to therapy.
I want you to keep naming things you just got over on your own. He goes, I had a year and a half. I was sexually attracted to my mother.
Yeah.
And I just, listen, you just drive through that.
I blew an uncle every time we went to a Bronco game.
And that's just something that's just like, it was then, this is now.
I got into killing small animals. You know, you just catch a squirrel and you choke the life out of it and you feel like a god.
And he goes, you can actually almost physically feel a soul leave.
And it's great. And I learned that. You feel their vibration of their body end. And I would just go watch my friend Scott undress.
And I would just put on lip gloss the whole time.
He goes, and you know, yeah, from 19 to 22, I had to wear a wig because my hair mysteriously fell out. This is just, you're just naming things that are like,
but, you know,
super crazy.
But you push it down. And you just push it down.
You go, have I had bloody hemorrhoids since the age of 9? Yeah.
Have I woke up with a bag of cat heads and not remembering where I got them?
You go,
of course I have.
Yes, I pay hookers to sleep in front of me, and I just watch them sleep. But that's just a thing I do. I got over it.
I had a therapist.
I would pay a man. Look, did I have a little summer there where I was paying guys to shit on my chest? Yeah. And I'm not gay, by the way. They just have the denser movements.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what I just did. I got a new job that summer, and I pushed it down.
From the ages of 15 to 22, I ate pillow filling. Did I think it was a strange addiction? Just pushed it down.
Pushed it down.
Dude, that fucking, there's a song in Book of Mormon called Put It in a Box, which is exactly what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so perfectly Trey Parker and Matt Stone, where they do the Mormon niceness, but they're like, put it in a box. And they like, even do like the gay attraction.
Yeah.
And it's just like one of those jokes. You know, when you see a comic do a joke and you're like, oh, that you nailed that topic perfectly.
Yeah.
Like that angle.
It's just either like keeping happy by just putting everything away.
Yeah. And they nail it with like, when you see people that do that, you're like, oh, you're going to blow, dude.
Me and Christine were real big. Pretty early in our relationship, it's called brushing under the carpet. Yeah. Real big on that.
Really?
Oh yeah.
And when did it blow up?
Kind of like, I don't know, quarantine. We're kind of started unpacking a bunch of stuff. But there's just a lot with my and Jay's relationship and just the nature of it. It's like there's been a lot of stuff you just got to kind of put in a box. Otherwise, it's like
we're fighting
about the same stuff every day.
Yeah,
so, I mean, and I'm not saying that was the best thing, and there's been some stuff Christine's, that should have been dealt with.
Look, I'll pull the curtain. Christine's unhappy that I'm extremely considering transitioning.
Yes, she does not like that you have already picked out what kind of color schemes you want to wear, what kind of material.
And in practice for it, what I've been doing is instead of having sex with her, I lay the bottom of my wang and ball bag across her vagina, and we mush.
Now, I'm a fan of the transition because Jay and I have been tit shopping. We've been looking at different places.
I picture that we have a picture of me, but it's like the remember the weird science computer? Yeah. I go, I make him a little bit big, and then I go, it's like that's green, too much. And I go, yeah.
It's like green.
It's like the guy from Punch Out in the arcade game.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I make them a little big, and I go, that's too big. And I make them a little smaller, and then you go, dude, and you just hit the return button but 18 times.
It's a montage of you becoming a woman. Yeah. Where it's like, I'm coming out. And you're like, mm-mm. And I'm like,
I'll tell you what somebody should do what we just said right now is you guys should deep, I know they love doing the deep fakes, deep fake me into the scene where I show up after the scene in Weird Science.
And it's me and Jacob.
You're doing bras on your head?
Yeah, we got bras on our
heads. And I'm Kelly LeBrock.
You're Kelly LeBrock. Hello, boys.
And he goes, hello, gentlemen. What would you like to do this
Now,
evening?
See, I brought this up on another podcast, but I was more in not into Kelly LeBrock. I watched Weird Science, the TV show on the USA Network, and that's the girl from Kingpin.
Vanessa Angel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, she's crazy hot.
She was crazy hot, but I was... Weird Science, I always go, we looked her up for Hillary. I go for Hilly, the brunette.
Oh, yeah.
Of the two girls.
Weird Science.
Weird
Science.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's getting super serious in this house. Are we a thruple? It's the bonfire.
Comedy Central Radio.
Serious. I am Dan Soder. That is Big J. Okerson.
Yeah.
And we're just having a sensual conversation. Man, that really made me laugh that you were afraid of weather. Because you do.
Terrified.
You fucking push it down.
Just a little crazy kid.
Did you do that with your mom?
Well, yeah. I
mean, you started doing drugs at like 14.
Well, I started doing drugs at 15, and it's so funny because I think about my mom's death and I think about her disease. I don't really think about her dying that much, which was the hardest part. And that was my freshman year of high school.
Damn, like, me too.
Yeah.
Both of our parents died freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
So that's great because freshman year sucked. But just because it was freshman year.
It was exciting. I was on, I mean, is you know.
I was fat freshman year of high school. That was tough. Also.
You go, by the way, I just want to let you know when you're a fat white kid around a bunch of black people, it's pretty hard to.
Because just so you know, there's a lot of people were starting to get boyfriends. Well, I don't know if you ever know
about black people's creative nicknames for fat people, but they're wide ranging and they're pretty accurate.
A lot of things rhyme with J and fat.
I was also fat with small tits in Los Angeles.
Damn, but
you were catching all that sympathy dick. And no,
I was a virgin when I was 14.
You just got fat served.
Nobody wanted to make out with me. Yeah. I had never been kissed at 14.
I was just a bobblehead.
You're the dead mom fat girl. It's too many things in front of your name.
I was just a FAS headed bobblehead who played with dolls. I'm just going by dolls.
That's crazy. Dan, I played with dolls until I was 13, and then freshman year of high school, it was like everything changed, and then 15, I'm like fucking doing coke.
Yeah, I know. So I mean, I'm telling you, I went from playing with X-Men toys at 13, sitting crisscross applesauce, to smoking blunts a year later, where you're like, ugh.
I lived a block and a half away from high school. I haven't even thought about this in forever. When my mom was dying, but she was still at home, she wasn't at the hospital yet. That was when I was 14. It was like me and her and my dad was at work from 3 to midnight. And I would come home on my lunch break from school and mix a screwdriver.
Damn.
And then go back up to school.
You told me that before.
Did you do it with your finger? Where you like mix the drink with your index finger as you were stirring it?
Did you? This is going to be a psychological thing.
It wasn't all the time, but I did start then.
This is a real psychological question that you. I hope I don't bring up something you forgot about. Did you ever do like mean things to your mom on purpose? Did you ever like when she was sleeping, just like do like shitty stuff to her because you were like angry?
It wasn't. No, it wasn't like that. Me and my mom would fight a lot in a way that like it was crazy. But I would do things like kick her chair.
Yeah.
Like kick her wheelchair, but it's like we had no fit. Like if I wanted to like have anything physical with my mother, like my mother was just laying there, like I would have to like go and like put my hand on hers or go like, you know, I didn't have that physical affection from like 4 on.
Yeah. So when you were 4 is when she got sick.
She got sick when I was 3. She was in a wheelchair by the time I was 6.
Damn.
And then she like deteriorated. So she slowly.
Until you were 14. So you spent 8 years.
Until I was 15. It was 13 years.
You spent 9 years.
Terrible mother. Terrible mother.
I mean, just not throwing you in the air and catching you.
It's really terrible.
And going from having a mom that was like a very involved mom, like would have been like the PTA mom. Like I would have been a little bitch.
What's funny about that? There is the thing. I'm not even saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it is funny though. That's the one positive you do have with not having it is you could fictionalize anything you want. And then it goes, yeah, like, my dad was in a wheelchair when I was there. It goes, shame too. So he was on par to beat Mike Tyson in a fight.
Yeah, dude,
what, really? He goes, was he a boxer? He goes, no, but he used to think about it a lot.
Well, something that we can all relate to. Have you ever done that with like, we talk about Jay with Dad when I saw your brother, and I was sure. Like, oh, it's Jay with Dad. I always, when I was a kid, and I think I've even up till recently been like, dude, if Gary was around, like in my life, I would have been much better at basketball, specifically basketball.
Yeah.
Like, my dad had the thing of like, he was a big sports fan, and he could see my frame.
Yeah.
So I remember when I started playing Pop Warner football, my dad was like on the phone with me. He's like, what number are you going to wear? I was like, 42. And he's like, Ronnie Lott? And I was like, yeah, hell yeah. And he's like, all right, when you go to show up to football practice, tell them you're going to play tight end. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're tall and you're fast. Tell them you want to play tight end. And I was like, okay. And I showed up and I was like, I want to play tight end. And my coach was like, you're going to play center. And I was like, that doesn't. And I remember calling my dad and my dad being like, no, that's what? Was he doing? And he just wasn't around. So it was like, I called my dad on that football, like going to football, and then I didn't talk to him for like 7 months.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, how's football? I'm like, it's good. I was like 11. I was like, whatever. You know, like it's.
How's football? It's over.
It's over. Yeah. Like, dude, it's January. We haven't played for a while. But do you think.
I'm 19.
You were saying you would have been like a shithead if your mom was like, Christine, we have the bake off and you're supposed to help me. You're like, I'm not going to fucking do that. Would you have been, who do you think you would have been if Gary, if let's say Gary and Terry, which I never realized that your parents' Gary names, I never realized your parents' names were on.
Jay and Terry, though.
Okay.
Because everybody called them Jay.
Yeah.
In Philly.
But it's still crazy that they could have been Gary and Terry.
Gary and Terry?
Gary and Terry.
I fucking love Gary and Terry. That's always a trippy thing is to think about what if your parents would have worked out, if it would have gone okay. Like, let's hypothetically, this is hypothetical. We're doing hypotheticals all day today, baby.
Dude, how have I never done a parody of a little ditty about Gary and Diane?
How did you not?
Two Megan kids growing up in the heartland.
In the heartland.
Gary gonna be a underground diesel fuel tank tester.
Gonna count cars. Yeah. What do you think, like, if you lived in Philly, right?
Sure.
With Gary and your mom, and you guys stay together as a unit, do you still move out to Jersey? Do you stay in Philly? Because I've had this conversation with Trish.
I absolutely cannot begin to guess.
Really? I couldn't do it either.
My mom went back to college when I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she went back to college when I was like that old. So, like, I don't know if she would have done that if my dad stuck around. My dad stuck around. Like, I don't know. My dad was like a blue-collar dude worker. My mom, maybe he went back to school. I just don't think my mom and my dad were together for such. It's 3 years, I know. Ultimately, sure. They were together, and like slightly more because the time it took her to get pregnant. So I don't, maybe they were together a total 5 years or less. I think probably less.
Yeah.
Total. So, do you know what I mean? My dad was like a Navy guy, a kid. When he left, he was 22.
Yeah, it's nuts. See, that's how old.
Do you know what I'm saying? He was 22.
But that's so how old my dad was.
I have no idea. Then my dad like just lived in like apartments and then like a house with my first stepmother. And then just like at some point went to Ohio. It was just like,
but that's what I mean.
An like Ohio guy.
If you intercept,
so I don't know.
If you intercept the pattern before the fucking breakup or whatever, and you're kind of like, where does it go? Because I asked my mom.
I think like between 7 and 10, you can maybe tell what it was going to be if they were around. My dad lived when I was 3. I don't remember life with him. I don't remember a day of my father living with me.
Yeah. I remember.
I can't picture
it. I have very light memories of this house we rented in Aurora and him and my mom talking in the kitchen and me just like being there at the counter. And I remember being like, that's the only memory I have of like us. But I asked my mom when we went to San Francisco for my grandma's birthday, and my mom was helping me with all the shit set up. It's not even her mom. It's my dad's mom. And she's like talking, and I was like, hey, so my mom got a job with Aetna that moved her to Hartford from San Francisco. And she was like, I'm just going to take this good job. They were like in their early 30s. Now I'm 37 and I look and I'm like, I get it. I see it all. My parents were the party couple. They were fun to get fucked up with. They were both alcoholics, but they were fun to get fucked up with in San Francisco.
Swingers. Just wild swingers.
Suck and fuck whoever would walk in the door.
Key parties. The whole
cocaine,
spiel.
Cocaine.
Themed rooms.
Amyl nitrates. They're just into it. But I asked my mom, I'm like, if you guys don't move to Hartford, do you think you get divorced? And my mom's like, no, there's too much of a support system here. We had my, you know, we had my cousins, we had your dad's whole family. Right. She was like, no, we would, I think we would have stayed together if we, because they were together 11 years. So it's crazy to think, like, if I would have been born in San Francisco and then just raised there, as opposed to staying there with my dad when they break up.
San Fran Dan.
Hey, guys. No, I'd be like super crunchy, Bay Area. What's up, bro? I'd be like, dude, hella. I'd be saying hella a lot. Hella fucking. But my mom brought me out to Colorado to grow up with nice Aurora garbage. But I love it. But I think, like, what you talk about with your mom, like you kicking her chair, like you would have been, do you think you would have been like beach, like snotty?
No, I don't. It's hard because my mom was a great mom from her chair.
Yeah.
So that could be annoying at times. But I mean,
which makes her sound like an emperor. Like she's like, yes. Clean yourself.
But
I'm benevolent.
Meh.
There's just, it's like, I don't even, it was just my life for so long that to like picture, like I couldn't spend too much time picturing healthy mom and what that would have been like because.
Yeah, but did you do that ever?
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know.
Because you fantasize.
What if she would have been bitchy mom? Ever, what if she was a bitchy mom who was judgmental over Christine? She goes, I'm not taking you around my friends, you're fat.
Yeah.
You have to lose weight.
I don't think I would have been fat. I think I would have had better hygiene. I would have cooked. I would have cleaned. Like all the woman things that a woman teaches you to do.
Had to teach her.
I would like rebel against it because my mom was meticulous and wanted everything in its place, but she couldn't do anything herself.
Yeah.
So you had to do her will for her. All the time.
That's a hard place for
fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's a hard place for a kid to be in.
Well, it was crazy, and this is also on top of like giving her pills, giving her water, fixing her feet in bed, helping get her in bed, emptying her leg bag. It's like the relationship was so. It to me, it's kind of part of my reasoning of not wanting to have children is I'm like I was necessary and needed in a different way as a kid.
Yeah, you're like a farm kid. You're like you know how like farm kids they're like, well, I wake up and I took out a calf. It was breached and I pulled it out. And you're like, how old are you? You're like 9. And you're like, God damn.
That's cool, guys. I had to babysit a lot too. I had to babysit my brother and sister.
I also babysat at 11 and was working at 14.
That's crazy. Jay, hey Christine, hold on real quick. Jay, can I have a sidebar real quick?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, Christine went through some real shit.
Well, you and Christine, but about your parents dying. And I'm like, my parents. You know,
I remember I went to go get tickets to see the Beastie Boys and Rage Against the Machine. They were sold out.
Because they canceled the whole thing because it was from Mumia Abu-Jamal. That was a pretty big bummer.
He goes, that was pretty. I go, one time I was supposed to be invited to Matt Peterson's birthday party, yeah. and he didn't invite me, and I had to deal with that.
Just my dad. He called a few days after my birthday when I was 13.
There's also, by the way, you know, it's like with the pain, ours, nobody left. Like, this was something that happened to our family that was, like, out of our control.
Dan got double-dosed.
My parents, my dad was an alcoholic.
Dude, double-dosed is so funny.
You got double-dosed. You really got a two-piece, dude.
Dude, you got a two-piece.
Your dad gave you a nice two-piece.
My dad goes, you think the leaving's bad?
Because you had to go through a train. He goes... You know, it's funny. He goes, Dan really didn't seem to give that much of a shit when I left. He goes, I think I'm just going to drink myself to death.
You know what, dude?
Was it my fault?
I think I'm going to run headfirst into a grave and not give him any clues.
Yeah, he goes, if I would have seen some emotion out of the kid when I left, maybe I'd have a reason to live. So I'd be like, oh, he cares that I left.
He even calls me by my last name. He goes, Jesus, Soder, act like you care. Yeah. I go, all I did was care.
I pushed it down. I was pushing it down. He goes,
I would come home for visits and just cry for 2 weeks. He goes,
you
well.
You sure showed a little bit of emotion when I left, kid.
He would do things like, you want to talk about like a dad that splits but acts like he wants to be there. That's why I brought up the therapy thing where my therapist was like, your dad straight didn't give a shit. And I was like, yeah, he loved me. And he's like, no. All right, that all matches up. And then I bring it up to Trish and she's like, she's got to do the thing of your ex-husband's dead. You got to be nice because he's the father of your kid. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't think Gary like wanted to be around. And she'll be like, wow, no. Well, you know. He was busy. I was like, no, he wasn't busy. That was the whole point. She's like,
she's going to find nice things. He goes, oh, he had a good t-shirt collection.
God, God, he was good at Jeopardy.
That guy could just
that guy could wail, but you're in it in a different way where I didn't have to watch my dad die. Like my dad, I wanted to.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Twelve and 13. I was like, dude, fuck the world. I was on my fuck the world shit. I was emo Dan. But I didn't have to sit in it. Like you had to watch it.
Yeah, it was the year in 1990, I guess like 2000, because she passed away in 2001, and she went into the hospital in February 2001, died in April. But that year leading up to her going into the hospital.
Rager.
Sexy.
When she was in the house, and I don't want to paint a picture because my dad was an alcoholic, but he was also a man that worked 40 hours a week, supported me, woke up every morning.
So he deserved.
He worked
it.
Till midnight, and he woke up every morning to get me to school on time.
He earned the booze.
He did the cleaning and all that. Like my dad's great.
Yeah, he gets celebrate with a little nip off the old nectar. You know what I mean? He goes, all right, I had a busy day today.
But he was like drinking himself to death. Like he was, I think my dad was in a thing where he was like, the only way out of this is death. Cause he's like, I'm not leaving my daughter and my sick wife.
Let me tell you something about an alcoholic that decides to go for it. As someone whose dad finished the job, unlike Christine's, you have to, when they
your dad fucking really
queefed. Sober, healthy, and a good relationship with my stepmom, living his best life.
Your dad really queefed out this at the 11th hour.
Alcoholics call that fagging off. My dad fucking.
25th hour.
My dad really double hand dunked on everyone. My dad got
a gorilla dunk. Not like a game dunk, like halftime trampoline dunk.
Something that we've brought. Yeah, dude, gorilla suit halftime at the Suns game.
That's on picture. The
gorilla suit. Just like a double hammer. But something that was like, something we brought up on the show that makes me laugh is legit my dad died as the deadbeat dad law got passed, which is such a buzzer, dude, such a buzzer beater that I want my dad's grave to have the hand up.
That should be the etching on the gravestone.
Yeah, just that the hand goes, and just with the quote, "So pretty." I mean, he fucking got out of there because when like you watched your mom deteriorate in a way where you're like, "Oh, this isn't bad." I just like the last time I saw my dad, they're like, "Do you want to see him one more time?" You kind of knew that you're like. Oh, yeah, how bad is it? But, like, your mom, you watched it.
Your dad deteriorated.
Yo, cirrhosis is, like, one of the hardest things to watch someone die from.
But how many times from diagnosis...
I only saw him...
...to dying did you see him?
Oh, once.
From diagnosis... How fast... Yeah. How
so
fast
my dad, my dad and I saw each other consistently until I was 10, and then he moved to Lake County, right?
Uh-huh.
Last time I saw him, like, completely healthy, I was at 10. Then when I was 12... They surprised my Aunt Karen paid for me to go surprise my dad.
I remember that.
And he did not want me there.
Yeah, he was plowing Cheryl.
Yeah, dude, Cheryl. Oh, I almost said her last name, her legal last name, which I don't, but she had some big ass cans.
Yeah.
My dad got pussed, dude. Gary got pussed.
He died doing what he loved most. Plowing fat titted ass.
Dude, I'm gonna fucking bring in a picture. I have to find out where it is. I think it might be at my mom's house. Cheryl. Dude, it's my dad dressed up going to bartend at the bowling alley. So he's got his like fucking golf shirt on, you know, like the blue and green golf shirt. It says like Clear Lake Lanes. It was Lakeview Lanes. And I'm in like long sweat shorts way below my knee. I have the Devin Sawa cut.
Ooh.
And I'm wearing a Big Johnson shirt.
Yeah, it's inappropriate for sure for a kid.
In fact, you know what? I know exactly where that picture is. It's at my grandma's house, and I'll get it at Thanksgiving, or I'll take a picture with my phone. But point being is, when I saw my dad when he was 12, he had just had cancer. He had what's asshole cancer? Not like rectal cancer, but he had like prostate.
Prostate, yeah.
Yeah. So he had prostate cancer, but gotten over it. It was like a light prostate cancer. So that was when I was, and my dad was skinnier. I was like, damn, dude, dad got skinny. My dad, to me, in my mind, it was like when Hulk Hogan came off steroids. Do you remember how big he used to be? And then he came and he was like slender in a way where you're like weird as shit. And then my dad and I didn't talk between when I was 10 and 12. And then I visited him. And then I didn't talk to my dad again. Maybe once or twice I talked to my dad, but I didn't see him again until they were like, yeah, my grandma called my mom, was like, yeah, Gary's dying. And my mom was like, oh, do you want to see him one more time or do you want to go to his funeral? And I was like, we only had the money for one. So I was like, oh, I'm going to see him again. Right. But that was rough. Because cirrhosis, the liver eats itself. So it creates bile. So
you can either see him one more time or go to the funeral?
Yeah.
When he dies?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was the decision that Trish had to lay down on me. Which seems weird.
But you went to the funeral, didn't you?
My uncle paid for it.
He ended up paying for it.
Yeah, my uncle flew me out and put me up.
So you went twice?
I ended up going to both.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my uncle was like, well, Christ, I don't
Christine, what are you sad shit are you pulling out here? It's a comedy show.
Yeah, yeah. We went too deep. I go, we went too deep.
Yeah.
We're breached.
Christine is crying, looking at pictures. She goes, yeah. I haven't looked at these since she died.
Yeah, she goes, I want a collage. I'm collaging.
I wanted to show you just so you could kind of see the years passing. So she was always in the chair. And then it just gets like, I don't have like worse ones. When that.
So this is younger. This is.
Yeah, and then that's when, and then it just, so you can kind of see it was just a sinking thing where it just like went slow, and by the end it was like a crippled dying person. Crazy
When you see your parents die at the
hello
end,
guys and
but it was
ghouls.
So it was so gradual for so long.
Tales really... from the crypt. She deteriorated hard,
but that so did my dad. She that's what it is when you're and but you're around it, so I think really it's pretty. More subtle, and you like look at pictures, whereas like I got fucking slapped with it. Like I turned the corner and I was like, yo, who's this old purple man? Because their skin's all jaundice and yellow. And he's like,
this is inside baseball, but you'll remember probably, damn, like Christine's mom looked like remember, like disturbingly like Jamie, who used to work at the stand.
Really? Oh yeah, I know Jamie. Yeah,
like she looked crazy like her.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, dude, she looks a lot like Jamie.
I know. Like, you look just like my mom.
Dude, that's crazy.
Are you my mom?
Whenever I see dudes with like a great, like the way your dad looks with a mustache, when I see dude, that's like the Gary mold, you know? Where
my
I see
dad,
that
my dad stopped mustache somewhere between like the long stretch of years I didn't see him.
Yeah, when you have a dad with a mustache, you just start identifying it. But that's what's always weird. And I understand if you're a camper and you're listening to this and you had both parents and you grew up fucking, I understand this is probably boring to you, or you know what I mean? Like,
it's got to be interesting.
Well, I don't know. I also think, like, I get it, guys. You fucking...
No, you find out how people get to a point where they come here and talk shit on the radio.
Fucking like... Well, I said we always... like, not that this isn't, like, lighthearted, but I just talked about my mom's death for the first time, like, in a serious matter ever publicly, like, recently.
Yeah.
And it was just a crazy thing to kind of, like, sit and think about that time period and all.
Guys, subject
stuff.
Change. Uh-huh. Christine just had a tumor biopsy. So
cool. Okay, yeah, let's keep going.
Something else. Like, what?
I go, I learned I'm slowly going blind. Anyways, guys, let's keep going.
There's something bumpy happening inside my asshole.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways. Yeah, but I think, you know, what we were, like, how we got here is because you talk about pushing it down. Mm-hmm. I think is a lot of comedians. Like a lot of comedians are like, that's what made us funny. Is I'd rather joke, dude. I remember when I got robbed in Tucson and we went out to lunch. And I think I've said this before on the show. My friend Sumner was like, "How are you being funny right now?" And I was like, "Cause if I don't, I realize that I just had a gun in my fucking face, you know, and was hogtied." Like if I think about that, what a bummer. But that's like when you have a sick mom or you have a dad that leaves or you have a fucking, you're raised by a woman that's bringing in random alcoholics that you're just like, I don't know, dude, my life, my therapist was like, have you ever, dude, I swear to God.
She wanted a bi-yearly alcoholic for you?
I can name three guys that immediately like would come in the house and I'd be like, oh, cool. Like I never got fucked. I'm very lucky. I never got fucked.
Me neither.
I never had to suck a dick. I never had to fucking play with myself in front of one of my mom's boyfriends. I was never
you
even.
You didn't have to.
I did wanted. I did it for the
go,
candy.
Hey, Nick, you want me to whack off for you? He's like, damn, what are you talking about? Is that not what kids do with their stepdad? I don't know how to treat a father.
I have that joke right now that I'm doing about when I was young and I didn't know what blowjob meant. And my friend, I sat around my friend's dad and he was like mad at me. You know, he's like, who taught you that word? And I didn't give up that it was my who taught me that word.
Uh-huh.
And the punchline is like, yeah, but now I realize that guy definitely thought I was being sexually abused by my mom's boyfriend. Yeah. He's like, what's a blowjob? I go, that's how we get cereal from Dennis. That's how we have breakfast in the morning. But
hey, blowjob goes, I do that. And Dennis gives me $5.
Yeah.
And if we tell mom, we're both going to be in trouble.
Then we're not secret buddies.
Yeah, then the secret ring we have is nothing.
You have to have something super childish that like links you where you go, and then we're not suck time super friends. And you go, what does that have? And you go,
super secret
suck friends.
Super secret suck friends.
Dude, it's like, you know,
SSSF.
Like when Jim Norton tells the story of Monster Rain, like they blow each other and they call it Monster Rain. And you're like, yeah, dude, there's always something like that. But the reason I brought up random alcoholics is because my mom would date these dudes sometimes that were that kept me on edge. Like, and I know she didn't mean for that, but it straight up did. And then I remember my therapist was like,
"Kept you sharp."
Yeah, dude. Or also what I realized is I was never comfortable living anywhere until I lived in my apartment in Queens, because it was my apartment. So I didn't have to worry about who was coming. I had like control of it, because I started going through that, like in the pandemic, living with Katie, where I'm like, I feel weird. It's like her house. And then my therapist is like, have you ever... I was like, it feels like when I was young. And he's like, well, that's not how you're supposed to feel when you're young. And I was like, yeah, I just feel like I could get kicked out at any moment.
He goes, I feel like Katie is going to leave me and then die from alcoholism. That's a weird connection.
You know what's crazy about you saying that is that's what's, I think, the coolest thing. What a dorky thing to say. But I think that's the coolest thing about therapy is when you see how it relates to how you behave as an adult. Where you're like, oh, yeah, that I never thought about, like, I appreciate loyalty because I didn't have loyalty with my dad. You know, like, he didn't say consistent. When someone stays in my life consistently, I value them much higher than if someone's like an old friend that I barely see and then I kind of just treat them. And it's weird to be.
Is that
like,
why you made me and the whole crew get a brand of your initials?
Yeah, because you motherfuckers are staying with me for life. You are
loyal.
You are life. And
we also go anywhere.
We're also.
Where are you guys going?
We're also in the black frat, the Zetas. So get ready.
Fight, dog.
So we got a whole step team now on the bonfire.
Cute dog.
But, you know, I think I described therapy one time to you, Jay, as untangling the wires.
It's a good way to describe it.
Because it's like crazy when you're like, you lead the wire and you go, oh, fuck, that's why I don't like to be alone. Got it. Weird. I didn't know it plugged into this.
I'm a wallower. I'm always prepared to wallow, like, in everything falling apart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, but in like a weird comfort of like, yeah, it's how it's supposed to go, right?
Yeah, I can let me wallow.
Everybody hates you, and
it's raining outside. You're all alone. No one cares.
But there's some kind of weird, like, nothing to do but watch TV, I guess, play a season of 2K.
Yo, man, I'm always amazed, and I think you and I, this is really breaking the fourth wall, but you and I one time had a conversation, like, over a year ago?
We decided to be just friends?
Yeah. We stopped having sex, and I never understood that, because
we did it at a Brazilian steakhouse.
We had a hot
I knew thing. You were setting me up for bad news.
Yeah, and I told you, you did it I did it in public,
so I couldn't freak out.
So you wouldn't freak
which
out.
Which was very unfair to me.
No, but
I like making a scene.
I went through a breakup, and I had a conversation with you about, like, building a relationship. Uh-huh. I think we were outside Cafe Metro, and we're like talking about, like, building a relationship, and I'm like, yeah, I'm always amazed, because I always blamed on me being a shitty partner as like, oh yeah, because my fucking dad took off, so I always take off. I'm a fucking runner, baby. But then you were like, yeah, I built that relationship with Christine, and I was always like, man, you're the first person I've talked to that isn't, you know, that is in a good relationship, that isn't completely toxic. It's like, yeah, I built that. I was like, even the way you phrased that, because some people are like, it just works, you know? You just get in and it works. And it makes you feel like, when you're a runner like me, it makes you feel like anytime you get in something and there's a little bit of shit, you're like, I'm out, I'm gone, I'm fucking, you know, I'm a slippery fella. My early 20s, I was fucking, I was getting in and out.
Yeah, we did build this, I think. Yeah. I came in and I had to break her down like a Marine.
Start doing push-ups.
Build her back in my image.
Yeah, that's a really weird thing to make a girl that you're dating do push-ups. You go, drop
me in this is great. I love you too. Now, that's a big step in our relationship. I'm going to need you in CrossFit.
We got to tighten this up. You hit the laser pointer. You go, what are we going to do about that?
And that? Let's see some of these problem areas. We're going to take a look at here. And I go.
You wheel a chair up?
And she goes, what is this? My tits? And I go, no, your heart.
and then you lift up her chin.
Yeah. It's got nothing to do with the body.
Yeah. It's all in the heart. It's all right here.
No. If I could change anything, it would be I'd like the goddess of God listen to that podcast and get in there with a nice long stick and noodle around in Christine's brain, knock a few wacky things loose, and we can just have her a little more like
oh yeah,
just blood dude, coming out of her nose. I'm telling you, a synapse fluid coming out of her nose.
Oh man, go download listen to the lobotomy episode of last podcast on the left, and I'm pretty sure through the podcast you can learn how to do an at home lobotomy.
Yeah, I trust those guys.
Yeah, they're good. Mm-hmm. Zabrowski, Ben, and Marcus are pretty great.
Make me less wily. It's something though.
Well, that's actually honestly what they would do to people. They would honestly give lobotomies so people would be like, stop being aggressive and shit, and that's they would insane. Like. It just make them kind of like content. They actually, we if you listen to the full thing, you're like, it kind of does work in a certain level, but then it fucks you up on everything else. Yeah. But it like,
well, speaking of, we have a half hour left of the show. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Should we take a break and come back, actually?
And then get sexual?
And we'll go. Yeah, because your things we were saying before are so funny on this.
Yeah.
But it's get sexual. You guys want to get sexual?
You guys want to get... Are we going sad to sexual? Only at the bonfire.
Only at the bonfire. Right here on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that's what it is.